If we say we believe, but our life doesn't reflect a changed heart, we're liars.
This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the daily podcast where we read the entire Bible in a year. What's up? Here in the U.S., we're preparing for Thanksgiving Day. More about that later. But right now, did you know that today is National Cake Day? Well, it is. And it's also National Flossing Day, which seems appropriate, doesn't it? Stewardship, people. Stewardship. Today is Psalms Wednesday, and we'll read chapters 15 through 17. We'll also do our On This Date in Church History segment, and we've got a comment from a LifeSpring family member. Let's get started. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us today. We thank you for our time together. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, as we read the Psalms today to understand and to glean something from what you want to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 15. Lord, who may enter your temple? Who may worship on Zion, your sacred hill? Those who obey God in everything and always do what is right, whose words are true and sincere, and who do not slander others. They do no wrong to their friends, nor spread rumors about their neighbors. They despise those whom God rejects, but honor those who obey the Lord. They always do what they promise, no matter how much it may cost. They make loans without charging interest and cannot be bribed to testify against the innocent. Whoever does these things will always be secure. Psalm 16. Protect me, God, because I depend on you. Some of you have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Every good thing I have comes from you." But you have also said about the gods of this land, "They are my powerful gods. They are the ones who make me happy." But those who worship other gods will have many troubles. I will not share in the gifts of blood they offer to their idols. I will not even say their names. Lord, you give me all that I need. You support me. You give me my share. My share is wonderful. My inheritance is very beautiful. I praise the Lord because he taught me well. Even at night he put his instructions deep inside my mind. I always remember that the Lord is with me. He is here, close by my side, so nothing can defeat me. So my heart and soul will be very happy. Even my body will live in safety, because you will not leave me in the place of death. You will not let your faithful one rot in the grave. You will teach me the right way to live. Just being with you will bring complete happiness. Being at your right side will make me happy forever. Psalms 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from your presence. Let your eyes look with equity. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept from the paths of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my speech. Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed their unfeeling heart. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the ground. He is like a lion that is eager to tear, and as a young lion lurking in hiding places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him low. Deliver my soul from the wicked with your sword, from men with your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life, and whose belly you fill with your treasure. They are satisfied with children, and leave their abundance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. I'd like to talk a little bit about our first psalm today, Psalm 15. It was our shortest one, but it's the one that I've got the most amount of comments on, so we'll talk about that one. David begins the psalm with two questions. Lord, who may enter your temple? And who may worship on Zion, your sacred hill? Well, these two questions show the desire of David's heart. He longed to be in God's presence, which is what the temple represented. Well, David answers his own questions, and it's important for us to remember that he wrote from the perspective of the Old Testament, or Old Covenant. And from that perspective, obedience, or the lack thereof, determined the blessings or curses that a person could expect. The person who was not in obedience to God could not expect the blessing of God's presence. Now, the New Testament gives us a different basis for receiving God's blessing and being able to be in His presence, doesn't it? Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, faith in Him is the grounds on which we receive blessings and come into relationship with God. It is very important to understand, however, that obedience or rebellion is an indicator of whether we actually do have a relationship with God. Or put another way, if we have a genuine faith. 1 John 1:6 tells us, "If we say we have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness, we're lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So in other words, if we say we believe, but our life doesn't reflect a changed heart, we're liars. In David's list, which by the way is just a representative list, not an exhaustive one, one of the things he lists is, "They despise those whom God rejects." Now, that sounds harsh in our ears today, doesn't it? From childhood, many of us are taught not to hate anyone. I remember my mom saying, "Stephen, we don't hate anyone." Okay. But listen to Proverbs 8:13. "To honor the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil ways and false words." So the fact is, the person who does evil habitually is in fact rejected by God. And the righteous man must also reject such a person. Listen carefully though, I'm not saying that we are to assume that this person is beyond God's ability to forgive if they come to Christ. I like the way Matthew Poole, the 17th century commentator, put it. He said, "He doth not admire his person, nor envy his condition, nor court him with flatteries, nor value his company and conversation, nor approve of or comply with his courses. But he thinks meanly of him. He judgeth him a most miserable man and a great object of pity. He abhors his wicked practices and labors to make such ways contemptible and hateful to all men as far as it lies in his power." So putting it in more contemporary language, we're not to admire a person whom God rejects. We're not to envy him. We're not to flatter him. We shouldn't desire to hang around with him or go along with the things he does. We should look on him with contempt, and we should pity him. We should hate the wicked things that he does, and we should speak out and show other people the error of his ways. The thing I want to focus on there is where he said we should think on that person as an object of pity, a great object of pity. So we should pray for them. The beginning of verse 4 is, "They despise those whom God rejects." And then it says, "But honor those who obey the Lord." I really love Spurgeon's comment on the second half of this verse. He said, "We must be as honest in paying respect as in paying our bills. Honor to whom honor is due. To all good men, we owe a debt of honor, and we have no right to hand over what is their due to vile persons who happen to be in high places." And that's exactly what happens so many times in our culture today. It's the person in high places who receive honor, regardless of their character. And the most honorable among us is often overlooked. Let us not fall into this practice, beloved. I'd like to hear what you think. Agree? Disagree? What are your thoughts? Do you have a question? Let me know at comment.lifespringmedia.com or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or comment on the show notes page for this episode. I'll read some of your comments on the show. Tomorrow's reading is Job 11 and 12.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
LifeSpring Family, Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
that's the number to leave a voicemail or to text me with comments on my comments, ideas for the show, praises for what God is doing in your life, or prayer requests. Let me know how you found the show. Might I suggest that you put that number on your contacts list? You never know when you might want to reach out. I'm always happy to hear from you. Now, Paul went to comment.lifespringmedia.com and sent this in. He said, "Hi, Steve. I should have known the answer to the question about the well-known pastor from North Carolina. I just learned earlier this year that it was the generosity of the Graham family years ago that permitted the installation of an amateur radio repeater on their ministry's communication tower near Mount Mitchell. This repeater would prove to be instrumental in helping rescuers save lives throughout western North Carolina after Hurricane Helene wiped out virtually every other form of communication in September of 2024. There are some amazing stories and interviews that can be found by searching YouTube for Mount Mitchell Repeater Hurricane Helene." Well, thanks for letting us know about that. Paul says, "I encourage the LifeSpring family to look into expanding their emergency communication resources because Facebook and Starlink aren't bulletproof. Even those who aren't tech-savvy enough for ham radio can learn to use tools like GMRS and Meshtastic to strengthen our local communities. The PrepComs podcast is a great Christian resource to help folks get started. God bless." Well, thank you. God bless you, Paul, and thanks for the note. That was really good information. I think Adam Curry mentioned Meshtastic on the latest No Agenda, didn't he? Sounds like a really great tool. Good to hear from you, Paul. Thank you, brother. On this date in church history is coming up, but first I need to thank Jamie Lodberg for his $20 donation. And you know what? I think I've been mispronouncing his name for a long time now. I think I've been saying Lodberg, but I think it's Lodberg. I think that's what the notification said in my email. So, Jamie, I'm sorry about that. You've been very patient with me. And if I'm not saying it right, let me know. Anyway, Jamie sent in a $20 donation. God bless you, Jamie. I appreciate your faithfulness so very much. And Fountain user number 888-328 boosted 249 sats. Thanks, 888-328. God bless you. And beloved, if the LifeSpring one-year Bible Rewind has blessed you, would you consider giving back with a value-for-value donation? Your support helps make everything you hear possible. Go here.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
It doesn't really matter how you give, but that you give. And when you do, you're helping to spread the good news to a world that needs it. God bless you. On this date in church history, November 26th, today we'll see three moments from past November 26th. that show how Christian faith takes root in real life, both in communities and across the world. First, in 1864, Charles Spurgeon opened the Stockwell Orphanage in London. He was known for preaching to thousands, but he also said that ministry without compassion was incomplete. When he saw the needs of children living in poverty, he helped create a home that provided food, care, and Christian education. The orphanage grew over the years and became a testimony to the idea that the gospel is meant to be lived out in practical love. It reminds us that faith is never only a message, it's also a way of life. And next we go to 1857 on November 26th, when the African Methodist Episcopal Church launched the Christian Recorder, one of the most influential black Christian newspapers in American history. It offered biblical teaching, community news, and a voice for literacy during a time when many African Americans were denied educational resources. The Recorder helped shape conversations about faith, family, justice, and discipleship long before the Civil Rights era. It stands as an example of how God uses written words to build up a people in hope. And finally, we jump to 1899, when the Gideons took one of their early steps toward forming the ministry we know today. A small group of Christian businessmen in Wisconsin gathered with a simple question: how could they encourage one another in faith while on the road? The gathering eventually grew into a global Bible distribution ministry. Hotels, hospital, military bases, and prisons have all become places where people open a nightstand drawer, find a Gideon Bible, and meet the living God through His Word. So, Spurgeon shows us that love must take action. The AME Recorder shows us the power of words to shape a community. And the Gideons remind us that God's word goes places we may never see. So, My question is, where is God inviting you to put your faith into action today? And who do you suppose He might reach through your obedience? Well, take it from me, you never know. Hey, if you're in the U.S., what are your plans for tomorrow? The lovely Lady Leanne comes from a large family. I've told you that before. Every Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve, we go to her mom's house. Yes, she's still with us and still lives independently at the, at the ripe old age of 93. That would, if she heard me say that, she'd punch me in the arm. Some of you might remember that she fell a few years ago and broke her back. And then when she got back on her feet, she broke her hip. We thought she was a goner at that point, but she's like the Energizer Bunny. Anyway, for tomorrow, right now, I've got two turkeys soaking in a delicious-smelling brine with apple juice, salt, brown vinegar, cloves, cinnamon, apples, onions, and a few other ingredients that escape my memory right now. And then later on, I'll smoke one of them. Then tomorrow morning, I'll smoke the other. Yeah, we're going to be at her mom's house, like I said, with about 18 other family members and friends. Yeah, so two turkeys are required. Oh, and we're also going to be taking the dressing for all those people, a whole bunch of deviled eggs, and a corn souffle. So right now, Leanne and I are busy. So if you're in the U.S., I hope yours will be a good one. If you're outside the U.S., have a great Thursday. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thanks for being here. I'm Steve Webb. Bye. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.